Welcome, welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. It's so nice to see all of your beautiful faces today. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is the podcast brought to you by the Peace Alliance. And the Peace Alliance has a mission of empowering civic action toward a culture of peace. And we do that with education, advocacy, and mobilizing grassroots networks to take action for peace. And these Hope Story Circles have really been part of our education arm. We're inviting people to come and share stories and also be inspired to take hope back out into the world during this very uncertain time that we're all living in since March of this year. And I am your guest today. I'm Terry Mason. I'm on the board of directors of the Peace Alliance. I'm joined to facilitate by Liz Gannon Graydon, who is also on our board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our teaching peace in schools lead and mindfulness expert. And we're just going to start off by Yelena leading us in a short meditation to bring us all together. Yelena?
Thank you, Terry. I'm so excited for this call and for you to be our guest. So I just want to welcome us all into this moment and just allow yourself to find a posture that you can, that is supportive for you at this moment, and just taking a moment to connect with your body and with the earth. And just invite your body and mind to relax, to let go, to find that moment of pause. And bring the quality of softness, gentleness, and appreciation. For a moment, let's practice this art of gratitude. Offering a thank you to the ground below us, the land that we inhabit. The air that surrounds us, the sky above us, this breath that sustains us. Just allowing yourself to really experience what is it like to offer gratitude to each moment. There are 86,400 seconds in a day. How many of those seconds do you spend noticing and offering gratitude for being in it? Mm-hmm. as we come back to the space and hear Terry, I offer you just to take a moment to look at all the faces and names in this crowd and just offer appreciation for each one of those beings present here, for the community that is here, and for Terry for sharing her story. Much gratitude to you all. Thank you.
Thank you, Yelena. Beautiful. So, growing up, my parents built a home in Northern California in 1964. It was a redwood and glass, single story, what would, I guess, now be called open concept. I think they just had a vision for it. It was the dining room and then the entryway and then the living room, all one big long space with the grand piano at the end of the living room. And their vision was that we would hold concerts in our home, which we did on occasion. My dad was a musician. He grew up as a musician. He played jazz drums, and then he was a singer with the San Francisco Opera, and he taught music, and he conducted community theater musicals every summer when I was growing up. So we were a very musical family. My mom played piano and also supported all of us in our performance efforts. So it was a very musical family and a really nurturing cultural environment in that way. But our home was also a gathering spot. It was the place where, when my brother and I got into high school, he was a senior and I was a freshman, but we had friends from the community theater musicals in the summer, and all, it became a gathering spot. Everyone came and hung out at the Mason House. And there were a couple other places where people would hang out, but it was, we were one of the top three places for all the fun to happen and all the gathering to happen. So it was a really warm environment. And even when I toured, when I was older and as an adult, I toured with Broadway musicals, and two of the shows I was in played San Francisco, and on one of our nights off, invited everybody to our house to have dinner. So, and it was like 100 people. So, you know, big groups of people and smaller groups of people, but just warm, loving community environment. This is how I grew up. After my mom passed away, which was quite sudden, it was a blessing. She died in her sleep. It was no pain, but it was a surprise to all of us who were left. But after mom passed away, we decided that dad would come to live with me and my husband, Paul. So we bought a house for the three of us to live in. And this all happened very quickly in the year 2001. Mom passed away in August, and then we started making plans, and we moved into our house in mid-November. And Paul stayed in the house, and I drove up to spend my last Thanksgiving at my parents' home. My brother and his wife and his daughter, my niece, came down from Eugene, Oregon, and we all had our last Thanksgiving dinner in our home. And my brother and his family left on Friday. I stayed and helped Dad get things together. He'd already done his best to start packing, and my brother took a few things, but I packed his things up that he would need for a couple of weeks, and then I drove down to LA, brought him down to LA. We put him in a boarding care until the movers came. So as soon as I moved him into there, I flew back up to Northern California to meet the movers early in the week, and then got everything taken care of, and then I drove Dad's car back down. But it took a while for the movers to come and get the house set up for Dad. So by the time we got it all pulled together, we managed to get it all done before his birthday, which is December 12th. That made me really happy that we'd get him in the house to celebrate his birthday. So we celebrated his birthday, and then I sat back and said, oh no, Christmas. Christmas. We had always spent Christmas at my parents' house. Even after I moved away, and when I was on tour, I couldn't go there, but even when I lived in Chicago for 6 years, I always flew back to Northern California for Christmas. So it hit me, what are we going to do for Christmas? And my brother and his family were not gonna come all the way to Los Angeles. So it would be Paul and me, my dad, and Paul's mom, and it just seemed so lonely and sad. So I was terrified. I was like, what are we gonna do? So I reached out to a bunch of friends who live here in LA. And I said, I know you have plans on Christmas. I'm sure you have wonderful plans on Christmas. But if you would have an opportunity, if you could take a little time out and come over. I'm going to have an open house in the afternoon from 2 to 5. Just come over, just spend a little time with us. Fill the house with warm, loving energy for Christmas, because we really need that right now. And sure enough, I had the open house. Probably 20 people came over the course of the 3 hours. And it was so lovely. And my dad got along with everybody so well. And he opened up, and everybody was so generous. And it was just so wonderful. And I was cooking a turkey dinner for Christmas, which is our tradition. And a couple of friends were there, Phil and Sandy. We knew Sandy only through our mutual friend, Linda. Linda and Sandy had been on jury duty together the prior spring. And we became friends through that. So Phil and Sandy, and it turns out Phil and Sandy lived up the street from our new house. So they're our neighbors. So they came over for a Christmas open house. And at one point I was in the kitchen and Sandy was checking with me and checking on the turkey. And I was telling her I'm making turkey dinner. And she said, "Oh, that's lovely." And she said, "We're going to make prime rib tonight." I said, "Oh, Sandy, stay for dinner. You and Phil should stay for dinner." And she said, "No, I'm making prime rib." I said, "Make it tomorrow. Stay for dinner." And she said, "Well, only if you folks come over and have prime rib with us tomorrow." And I said, "That's a deal. We'll do it." So Phil and Sandy decided to stay for dinner. Now I'm going to backtrack for a moment, because we had just known them for a short time. I knew Phil sold commercial real estate. I knew that Sandy had formerly been a violinist for the LA Philharmonic. Lovely people. But back when I was living in Northern California, back when I was growing up, when I was 15 years old, remember I said Dad was a musician? He grew up being a jazz drummer and loved jazz drumming. When I was 15 years old, we went to see Sammy Davis Jr. perform, my mom and my dad and me. We went to see him perform at the Circle Star Theater in San Carlos. And it was a wonderful show, terrific show. And the orchestra was incredible. My dad leaned over a couple of times saying that drummer's amazing. You know, he's just really into it. And at the end, Sammy Davis Jr. Introduced the conductor and a few key members of the band. And he specifically called out the drummer saying, "This guy just flew up from LA this morning, didn't have a full rehearsal, never saw the book before. He filled in." And Dad and I were just blown away. I mean, this guy was incredible and he was just a fill-in. So back to Christmas dinner, Phil and Sandy are with us. Phil, it turns out, was a professional drummer before he sold real estate. And he played jazz drums. So my dad and he started talking. He toured with Sammy Davis Jr. for 8 years. Wow, we went to see him perform once. Well, my first night with him was in Northern California when I flew in to pinch hit for somebody who fell sick. And it's like, what? So we saw him. We saw Phil Seymour playing drums with Sammy Davis Jr. the first night he ever played with him. My dad and Phil were just chitter-chattering all night long. They got along so well. And of course, the next night we went to their house to have prime rib. So that Christmas that made me so nervous, made me so uncomfortable, made me not know what was going to happen and how we were going to manage it, turned out to be lovely. It turned out to be just wonderful. And it began a tradition. That was 19 years ago. Every Christmas since then, we have had an open house followed by dinner. And different people come to the open house, different people stay for dinner. Some people do both. But last year we had about 35 people to the open house and another 35 people for a sit down dinner. So, and we usually host Thanksgiving as well, have 20 to 25 friends for Thanksgiving. So what will happen this year? This is what I'm grappling with right now. We won't have groups over. We're not gonna do that this year. I mean, even Halloween, we don't have children, but there are a lot of kids in our neighborhood and it's a good flat neighborhood. We're no busy streets. So I think kids come from elsewhere as well. Last year, I think we had 200 kids before I ran out of candy and turned off the light. So what are we gonna do this year? What are all of us planning on doing? And it's not just the holidays. Throughout this entire year, we haven't had our connections with our community. We usually host a monthly potluck dinner. I'm seeing Paula here, and Paula's a member of that group. And we usually host a monthly potluck dinner. We've been doing it since 2007. And since March, we've been doing it virtually on Zoom, which is lovely, but it's not the same. It's not the same. We usually host house concerts in the summertime in our backyard. We didn't do any of that this year. We usually have random cookouts in the backyard or, small dinner parties with friends. We haven't done any of that this year. And now the holidays, the sort of big events. And these are things that feed my soul because they're my community. I don't have a big family. This is my community, my chosen family. And it's those connections with people that really fill my soul and make me so happy. And I've really missed it. And I really am going to miss it this year. But I don't know what we're going to do. And I think that many of us are feeling the same. Things are different this year. And if it's not the holidays I named, it's other holidays that are important to you and other groups that you connect with over those holidays. So that's my quandary right now. And I'm wondering how what I'm going to manifest, what I'm going to create to make the holidays joyful and special, because it's not going to be the same. So what can we do? I don't know, Liz, Yelena, do you want to help with the inquiry?
Yeah, I know that Yelena had come up with an inquiry, but when we were talking last night, I was really connecting with your story, Terry, and I said, I think it's going to be a common run, right? Because what struck me was I had thought about it before I knew what Terry's story was going to be the day before, because I had heard someone on the news, a doctor on the news, say that they felt that it was going to be family gatherings, that if we had another spread, it would be family gatherings that caused that. And I went into this place of deep pain because I thought of the holidays too. I thought, if we're going to do this, or if I'm going to do the responsible thing, I won't have family gatherings. So I was, that's where I was. And I was trying to think of the same thing before I knew this was going to be Terry's story. How do we create those beautiful memories, those beautiful moments with family in a way that keeps all of us both connected and really safe?
And when Sherry shared that last night with me, I just saw how much that meant to her. She's our hostess here, and I felt like, it's like this is a space where, there is that co-creative energy that is coming up. So I offered to Terry, it's like maybe we can ask you all, what can we co-create together so that to bring joy, bring us together without physically being together. So how can we, what can we co-create to bring that joy to Terry and to all of us? So that might be what we can talk about. What are some ideas? What are you, how are you grappling with this? What do you plan to do?
Wonderful. Okay. Well, I'm going to pause the recording. All right. Everyone is back now. It's nice to see all your faces again. So, who would like to share what's going on?
David.
You can unmute yourself and share.
We just had a great session, and I think what we ended up with is we're going to have such a wonderful holiday because it's going to be at a higher level
Ooh, I love that.
of connection, which is spiritual, not physical. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And that's the phase, the jump, the uncertainty, and the steep learning curve that we're all being forced to go through right now.
So I love that, David. Thank you.
It's going to be icing on the cake.
That is what's happening. There's no doubt about it. You know, because we are connected and it's on a whole different level.
Thank you. Who else would like to share?
I'll jump in on that high level connectivity. I was so touched by your story, Terry. Mm-hmm. And I love how you were put in a pickle, what seemed like a pickle. And you were like, but I really feel a need to connect and commune. And it's got to be something. And I just love how other people felt the same deep need to connect and commune. And that is an essential ingredient for heart health and happy living and all that kind of good stuff. So I just feel like we have soul communities where we all are being healthy and we know like who feels like in alignment with staying healthy. And so I'm in a new city, Santa Fe, and I have beautiful friends here. So although I'm not exactly sure if I'll get to see my family this time, my mom kind of said probably not, but who knows? I know that I'll be surrounded by beautiful people, probably making music and sharing our hearts and our food. And thank you for helping me think about it. I hadn't even thought about what was happening.
Yeah, it's coming up for me. So I thought it would be useful.
Yeah.
Thank you, Patricia. Lois.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to follow that up with one of the things that our group discussed was intentionality, how that, we're experiencing, connections and intimacies with people in different ways, and to the importance of, not judging that, just accepting that it's different right now. And that we're learning things, we mentioned, the spiritual dimensions of it, and we're learning things, and they're things that we can carry with us so that the one certainty we have is that things are going to change. I mean, that's just, the basic certainty in life, is that everything changes. And when things do change, that we can have more in-person connections, we'll be bringing along what we've been learning now. And one aspect of all of the connecting via technology is that if there are people for whom mobility is an issue, mm-hmm. that in the future, maybe, 20 of us are going to get together to have our turkey dinner, but, one of us can't physically do it, we can connect all together with that person present with the other group via the technology. So, mm-hmm. There's good things that are happening, and we are doing it intentionally and with hope and gratitude.
Thank you, Lois. Who else would like to share?
Two words. Virtual reality. Tara, take it away.
Oh, sure. Well, I just recently kind of dove in, although I've had this great life where I've been able to experience virtual reality for like a decade now through some friends working on projects and things, but I haven't personally. There's this event called Burning Man, and I attended that virtually and met new people and hung out with my friends and even joined a meditation group. And I just found that this virtual world, people. So it was mom getting a headset, and my brother is in her quarantine pod. So my brother and my mom and I and my kids are with me. We can all do a virtual reality connection, although you can't eat a virtual turkey. But,
There is
so,
that.
For this, it'll be a fun story, you know, to talk about next year. And I love the idea. I love that point that in the future, 20 people get together and that one person can still be on Zoom or in the virtual realm or able to connect with us. It is a new way to bring people in, even in those exceptional moments. And I also thought Maji's take on virtual reality in his work was really cool too. So it's not the only way. I think it's also really important to put extra intention into the beauty of the gift and really holding what you have in that relationship with the person you're getting a gift for. And, you know, putting that like a little extra something into it. I mean, we always do, but this year maybe there's a little more to that. But yeah, I think it's a fun and interesting way. And I was showing off my headset here, but there's all kinds of ways to access this technology. I went in initially with just my laptop, headphones, and a microphone, and it still felt very connected and like I'd spent quality time with my friends. So
that's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Tara.
Sure. Thanks, Anna. I'm really glad you got to have your family and stuff too. Thanks for bringing it up.
Welcome. You're welcome. And the other issue, and Tara was a little garbled, so I think we need to keep in our hearts and close to our vests is the word privilege, because you were a little garbled. You're in Nevada, the Wi-Fi access, and people who don't have the money or physically the access, and Maji is in Nigeria, and I felt very privileged to hear your stories and to be learning from you, but there's so many, it's just a heartbreaker who aren't, who can't, who don't.
Yeah, very true. Mm-hmm. I see Nancy raising your hand.
Yep, I just want to say that Terry, your story started the part about what to do at Christmas, I think December 12th, you said? Which it suddenly hit you, and I want you to know that, and I want everyone to know that your story told about how you didn't know what to do starting December 12th, and by the end of the month, you had a wonderful experience. So we should just trust that whatever it is we do, it will be enough.
Oh, thank you. I love that. Thank you. We have time for one more quick share if anybody's.
Nancy Merritt's raised her hand. I saw that, Terry.
Nancy?
I'm unmuting. Thank you, Terry. I guess what I'm feeling is we have to find the gratitude in what we do have, and that, I mean, you've found a way to manifest community throughout all of this. I've kept up my connections, and I imagine most of you have with your communities. Today, for example, I'm having a cocktail hour with my siblings, and it just so happens to be exactly at the time of the anniversary of Loma Prieta earthquake in Northern California. 5:04 today, and that also was a huge community experience. So I think we find community, and if we can just stay focused to be grateful for what we do have, that's so important.
Thank you, Nancy.
I wish I could be at your party to eat, because I don't like to cook, and I love to eat your stuff.
Well, thank you so much, Nancy. Well, we're going to start to wrap it up here. I'm going to put some links into the chat. The link is for the Peace Alliance, which empowers civic action toward a culture of peace. Also, the Peace On podcast. All of these calls are podcasts, and we have other calls, podcasts for monthly calls, which are wonderful speakers. The Blueprint for Peace, this is an initiative we've been holding for a few months now. Wonderful tool. Click on that link, and you'll be able to connect with all of your elected officials, both state and federal, to let them know that you support the policy priorities that are based in our peace building initiatives. And also a donation link. We are a nonprofit. We welcome donations. We're coming up to Giving Tuesday in December and hope to pick up more monthly donors. So if you're interested in being a monthly donor, think about that. Even a small amount per month will really help us be sustainable. So thank you so much for being here. And Liz, do you want to wrap it up for us?
Yeah, sure. I loved I love when things happen, right, synchronistically. And when Terry and Yella and I were in the holding room, the word that came up for me was intentionality. And so when Lois and Tara both kind of talked about it, one of the things we talked about was Terry mentioned how this thing that started accidentally, kind of ad hoc, became what it was with greater and greater intentionality as the years went on, right? And what that brought up for me is how community doesn't just happen, right? Community doesn't happen. And she said towards the end, you know, you get better and better. And she said, everyone has, you know, real china, and everyone has a real wine glass and cloth napkins. And where we connected on that was, I know some of you who have been on before have heard me mention it. For the last 7 years, I threw a tea party in Bryant Park, which is this beautiful little park right off of Times Square in New York. And it started accidentally, but as the years went on, I would bring cloth napkins and my grandmother's china, and I would bake and serve, and it was for anyone who passed by this kind of crossroads of humanity. And the idea was to kind of honor this idea that beloved community can happen anywhere and on purpose. And so what I loved is this idea that we're going to have to find a very intentional way to keep community going when it's difficult. Right. And I love that Terry, in that moment that started out of this great need, became this beautiful, beautiful expanding exercise in creating beloved community on purpose. And so I guess what I would like to kind of send us all off with at the end of the call is how are we going to create that on purpose in this time that's a little trickier? I like what Tara said about we can include more people. And what came up is for me, is just last week, we always did it on Thursdays. And during COVID, I've been doing a Zoom tea party, right? I sit from 12 to 7 the way I would in the park, and people come and go. And someone mentioned, you know, I'm not gonna have anyone to be with on Thanksgiving. Can we set a time to get together on Zoom and maybe we could all eat pie together, right? So, and I thought, oh, that might work, right? And so we all kind of agreed to the degree we could to set aside time to be with one another on Thanksgiving. So I look forward, as the holidays kind of come and go, to hearing how we all were able to do that with great intentionality and with great purpose and with great love. So I want to thank you guys all for being here. And I look forward to kind of moving forward in our community, finding our beautiful creative ways to create that intentionally. Thank you guys.
So feel free to unmute yourself and say goodbye. Thank you for being here, everyone.
Thank you all.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.